Hey, everyone. This is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. We are in Florida. Pastor Kyle is home in Jersey. We'll eventually get there, right, babe?
Eventually.
Yes. We'll get there, but we're doing our part to socially distance ourselves from everyone during this global pandemic. We hope that everyone out there is staying safe, doing what they have to do, staying sane.
And that's most important thing.
Yeah, exactly. And most importantly, staying in the Word, staying in the Bible, and really making sure that they get their mind in a good place. And of course, our prayers, as always, are with all of you, everyone out there. And man, I keep seeing pictures of nurses and people out there, doctors and everyone else on the front line. And thank you to all of them. Thank you to all the cashiers working, the people in the stores. I shared this story the other day on social media. All I did was I'm in line at a grocery store, and I say to a cashier, just thank you. You're a hero. God bless you. She starts tearing up, crying, and it's so...
Honestly, those people are working, and they don't know what they're coming in contact with and who they're coming in contact with, at least in the hospital. When you come in contact with someone, you're like, you kind of know because
you
they
brace yourself
they, yeah,
for it, yeah,
you're like, you okay, you're kind of ready a little bit. But when you're a cashier and you're handling something, somebody like accidentally coughs on you, that's kind of a problem. So God be with them. I don't know how they're doing this, but
I don't know why it took till this week, really, till I started seeing them wearing masks and gloves.
I guess because there was a shortage or something of masks.
Well, there was. I was hearing all kinds of different things. Sometimes they would tell me they're not allowed to, and then finally, so things are changing. But hey, we know who is in control. We know who the one is who can get us all through this. We have two special guests on this episode: Dallas Cowboys star quarterback Dak Prescott and Mike Lindell, who is the inventor and CEO of MyPillow. Mike has an incredible testimony coming up. You'll hear that. It's a very powerful story that he'll share, and I'm really looking forward to hearing his story again, and Dak Prescott just chatting with him during Super Bowl week. As we continue, really, as we're living through this strange and difficult and crazy time that's unlike anything any of us have gone through, I keep going back to this one particular verse, Psalm 46:1, that says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. You're going to hear when Dak comes on this show talk about control what you can control. And that kind of is quarterback speak, athlete speak. They say that all the time. Coaches say that all the time. Control what you can control. But it is so important this time, what we're going through, control what we can control. And you probably all heard Mike Lindell, and if you didn't, you can go back and listen to it. Mike Lindell stood in front of the nation at the White House Rose Garden and encouraged people, in his words, to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bible, and spend time with our families. And really, we can, as Dak says, and as all the athletes always say, we can only control what we can control. God has the rest. We don't know the future. He does. We don't have the answers. He does. And he loves us. He cares for us. And he wants our focus, we talked about this last week, to be on him and align our hearts with his heart. So when I keep thinking about God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble, it gives me so much comfort, really, during this time of uncertainty, because the word refuge is a safe place. That's what it means, a safe place. And God is our safe place. And when we need protection from whatever it may be, and we're looking for where can we find this protection, God's there. Call on to him. Call out to him. And here's the thing. When we know that God is our refuge and God is our safe place, when we've come to that realization in our lives, that's going to allow us to trust in him more so we don't have to live in fear. there's so much fear. And I know you like talking about, you talk about this with me all the time, the fear that we see people living in this pandemic right now. There is nothing that we will ever face that is too big for God. And I'll never forget, and I'll always, these are some of my favorite words, what Jesus said to his disciples, I have overcome the world. There's no situation, no enemy, no virus, nothing that is out of God's control. We can only control what we can, but he can control everything. And the best place, the safest place during this pandemic, during really any time, is with him.
You really have to kind of clarify what kind of fear you're fearing, because there is a lot of things happening right now, and some people are like, they're just afraid. But what are you afraid from? Like, are you afraid from the virus, or are you afraid of dying, or are you afraid of losing money, or what are you afraid into losing?
That's a good point. What are you afraid of?
You know, because if you just pinpoint what you're afraid of and just point to the cross, God has defeated the ultimate fear. He defeated death. So if that's your ultimate fear, God had defeated your ultimate fear. So what else are you afraid of that you cannot pin to the cross and just say, it's done. It has been, it's been done. It's been, the victory has been won. Everything has been won for you. You have won the battle. So what is it? What else are you afraid of? I know there's a lot of uncertainty right now. There's a lot of people afraid of not having money and not paying mortgage, not having food on the table. It's a lot of things that we're afraid of.
Toilet paper. I was afraid of running out of toilet paper until I finally got 96 little roll, tiny, tiny rolls the other day.
That, yes, that was on my mind. And I prayed about it. I mean, that's silly. It's
you
silly.
You literally pray about everything. I pray about everything.
I mean, I pray about everything. You guys, I annoy God every single day with the little
minute
prayer.
It's not annoying.
And it's not annoying. He loves me and he loves my prayers. So I'm just letting you guys know that that's my, every time I feel anxiety coming to me, or every time I feel like there's some fear happening, or I hear the news, or I hear things happening around me, and I feel like, oh, okay, my anxiety is kicking in. Like, I feel like there's something, there's a battle inside of me. I run to worship and I run to God and I just say, I need you right now. That's what I've been doing. I need you right now to calm the storm inside of me. Because you guys have to realize that a ship would only sink if the water gets inside. A ship is designed to float in water, but if the water gets inside of the ship, it will sink. We are designed the same exact way. We are designed to walk on top of the water and not have the water come inside of us to sink us. So fear is the same. Fear is the storm is around us right now that's trying to sink us. And if we get fear inside of us, we're going to sink. But we are made to walk on top of fear. We are made to walk on top of the storm. And that's what God designed us to do. So don't let fear sink you down. There is no point of that. You already have the victory of Christ inside of you.
Fear can take hold of you. Fear can grab you. And fear can really strangle you. Like, if we allow fear to take control of our lives, it can suffocate us.
Mm-hmm.
It can really suffocate us. It can rob us of any kind of
joy and happiness.
Any kind of joy, any kind of happiness, any kind of productivity. Because we still have to go about our lives working, whether we're all working remotely or whoever's working out there. No matter what we're doing, we have to continue with our lives. And fear can just really be such a stranglehold. And, you know, that's why when I go, God is, man, he's my refuge. He's our refuge. Right. He's our strength. He's the ever-present help in trouble, in good times, in bad times. So we have to find, where do we turn to, right? And here's what's sad, because alcohol consumption's going up during this pandemic.
It is really crazy, yeah.
Cases of domestic violence are going up. This is horrible. This is terrible. This is sad, because what are we turning to? What are people turning to at this time? Man, if we turn to God, if we turn to our Savior, if we turn to the Lord, it'll keep you away from these things that can go through. And none of us, like, we're all going to, as you said, and when I joke around, like, you pray about everything, you literally pray about everything. Like, I will text you, babe, I can't believe it, I finally found toilet paper. You're like, yeah, I prayed about that. I'm like, really? You prayed about it?
I really do.
But you do, you pray about it.
I'm crazy.
Everything. I mean, yeah. Everything, big or small. Hey, I finally found some awesome strawberries. Yeah, I prayed about that too. And I'm like, what? Okay, great. I need to get into that practice. I need to get into that habit. And I feel like we all need to, especially at this time. And that's why I'm looking forward to sharing this conversation with Mike Lindell. And of course, sharing this conversation too, also with Dak Prescott. And those are both going to be coming up. So you're going to hear Dak Prescott first. Then we're going to play for you the interview with Mike Lindell, which is a whole lot longer. His testimony is just wow. I mean, from crack addict, from cocaine addict to CEO. So coming up next, first, you're going to hear Dak Prescott. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti. If you missed any of our previous episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every past show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list. You can get our weekly episode delivered right there to your inbox. You can make sure also to follow us at Rob Motti on all social media platforms except for Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Motti. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Kyle's at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about our speaking appearances and any kind of events that we're going to be hosting or doing once people are able to gather again in groups. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. Our first guest on this episode is Dallas Cowboys star quarterback Dak Prescott. Dak threw for a career high 4,902 yards last season and a career best 30 touchdowns. But the Cowboys finished 8-8. It was their first non-winning season in Dak's 4 years with the Cowboys. It also ended up costing coach Jason Garrett his job. This past week, Dak was making headlines because of news reports that he had a party with more than 30 people at his house. Of course, that would have violated guidelines regarding the coronavirus pandemic. But Dak issued a statement regarding the gathering, saying it is very frustrating and disappointing when people provide completely inaccurate information from anonymous sources, especially now. To set the record straight, I know that we all need to do our best to socially distance, and like everyone else, I am continuing to adjust to what that requires. But the truth is that I was with fewer than 10 people for a home dinner, not a party, on Friday night. So that is right there, you have it, from Dak Prescott. I sat down with Dak before the Super Bowl. We talked about his season, new head coach for the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, his contract, and his faith, which he said came from his mom, Peggy Prescott, who passed away in 2013 at age 52 following a lengthy battle with colon cancer. Here is my interview with Dak Prescott.
I'm joined by Dak Prescott, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Dak, I know athletes are wired to look ahead, yeah, not look back. When you look back, however, at last season with the Dallas Cowboys, how disappointing is it that you're here now, but you're not playing in that big game on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's disappointing. When you go into the season, that's your mindset, that's your goal, is to be playing in this game. And you want to do everything you can and make the playoffs to give yourself an opportunity. And we fell short there. We fell short in making the playoffs. So, as you said, you never want to look back. But when you do, you have to grab something positive and bring it with you going forward. And we'll do that because we had things that we could grow from this year that were good. Necessarily, I improved myself individually. Our I think our offense made a step and improved, but it didn't correlate to wins, and that's what's frustrating. But that's what this offseason will be, is how do we take that next step as an offense and as a team and make sure that those are things are correlating to wins.
Well, you got a new head coach now, Mike McCarthy. He's got an impressive resume. He won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. How excited are you to go into next season with a head coach like that?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I mean, you just said he won a Super Bowl, and that's what I want, right? That's the goal. That's at the beginning of the season, that's what you want. That's the reason I play this whole game. So anytime a coach comes in the locker room and he has one of those, I want to follow him, right? He has the method. He has the formula. He has the way to get to what I want. And I'm going to follow him. I know the rest of the team is the same way, and we're excited for it.
Well, you got an interesting offseason, obviously. You got a contract situation that you got to deal with. How are you handling that?
I mean, I worry about what I can. I mean, I control what I can control, and that's it. The rest is out of my hands, and so it's not a focus of mine. I mean, I've got a great agency, and I've got a great team that I'm confident will get something done. I have confidence in the Cowboys as well that we'll figure something out.
Well, that control, what you can control, and not let other things bother you that you can't control, sort of a biblical principle.
For sure.
And I know you're a man of faith, so tell me about that. How important is it to you?
Yeah, faith is everything. When my mom passed, that was the word that she left me, faith. And I've been somebody that's always been right there tight with my faith. I never ask questions. God's purpose isn't for us to ask and to question us, but it's for us to follow. And that's the way that I live my life. So whether it's a contract or whether it's a myth of a win and loss, whatever it is, I just give it to him, and I live my life to control what I can control and just be thankful for what I have. And it works out for me.
Well, Dak Prescott, man, I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That was Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. Up next, we'll hear from MyPillow inventor and CEO Mike Lindell. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti. Mike Lindell is the inventor and CEO of MyPillow. I wasn't aware of his strong faith until I saw Mike at the White House speaking at a news conference from the Rose Garden on March 30th. I loved how he used that platform to urge people to use this time at home during this global pandemic to get back in the Word, read the Bible, and spend time with our families. We don't get political on this show. As an AP journalist for 21 years, I learned right away that I got to be objective, and that's why you don't ever see me talk about politics nor have any kind of rooting interest in sports. I'm old school that way. That's my job. It's always been to report the news objectively and fairly, and it's unfortunate that journalistic integrity has been evaporating rapidly. As a talk show host, I'm always careful to maintain that line. But as host of Faith on a Field Show, I obviously proclaim my love for Christ boldly and loudly. Mike is a strong supporter of the president, but I asked him to come on this show to share his testimony because it's incredibly powerful, and I believe it will resonate with many of our listeners. Here is that interview with Mike Lindell. Mike, on March 30th, you had the privilege to be part of the White House press briefing, and you had an opportunity to address the nation, talk about what your company, MyPillow, is doing to help fight against coronavirus, producing masks and everything else. So first off, before we get into anything else, this is 2 weeks later. Can you give me an update on all that production and what you guys have been able to do?
Well, we're up to about 50,000 face masks a day, and we've donated them to great places. You know, besides the hospitals and the VA's hospitals, and I had my home state of Minnesota, in southern Minnesota, there where I lived at one time. That was the highest county per capita in the country, or in the Midwest, where they had got the virus. So we covered all the hospitals, the nursing homes down there, and everything. So it's been very very rewarding. You know, I've been very blessed to be able to even to help out, but for myself, I've been doing all that, and my company, and then also this would be my 84th interview. It got a big, as soon as I flipped that page over and told the president, can I read something off the cuff, and he said yes, It was like the shot heard around the world.
Well, I'll tell you, as I just mentioned a little bit before we started here, I'll be honest. I wasn't aware you're such a strong believer. Then I'm watching with my wife, and I hear you say, God gave us grace on November 8, 2016 to change the course we're on. And then you go on and talk about God being taken out of schools and lives, and a nation had turned its back on God. And you just encouraged everyone to get back in the Word and read the Bible, spend time. And I'm sitting there, Mike, I'm thinking, this is beautiful. This is exactly what people need to hear, because our society, our priorities were screwed up in sports, entertainment, money. All this stuff became false idols, and we're putting God ahead of everything. Like you said, that was off the cuff. It wasn't scripted. It was straight from the heart. When did you know you were going to use your platform to do that?
Let me give you a little back thing here. The on Friday before, I was invited by email from the vice president to come to this roundtable, and they wanted remarks. And I go, well, I've been to the White House before for a roundtable. We didn't have to get our remarks approved. So anyway, I sent them off, and then we got to the White House. We did this roundtable, and he did the round table, and the president came in, and he talked to all the CEOs, and so did the vice president. And nobody read anything. They were going to, you know, their remarks. I said to the vice president when we got done, I said, how come we didn't read this? He goes, oh, no, that's for out the Rose Garden. The president might call you up. And so then I go, you know what? I just felt like God said, you know, it was a great time to be able to reach everybody. So while they were talking, the CEOs to the president, they were over by the Oval Office, I sat down and I wrote, you know, some notes on the back of a page, and I was going to transfer over and kind of write it out, and all of a sudden they go, hey, you guys, we're heading out to the press conference, and I'm going, and my prayer was, God, please let me read my writing. And when you can see if you look at that tape, the president's actually looking at my writing. I just wondered what was going through his head, like, what are you, because he had no clue. Nobody knew I was going to do that, you know, nobody, me and God. And,
amen.
And it just came, you know, and I was, and like you say, and then my voice, because I had had vocal cord surgery about a week and a half before, it sounded like, you know, that I was even more emotional than I already was, and it just went off great. And I got done, and we went back inside, and the vice president said, he was just almost just so emotional. He goes, Mike, that was so awesome. He goes, that's going to open up the heavens or something like that.
Wow.
And I left the White House, and I was driving down the road, and I didn't realize how big it was until I looked at my phone, because they finally, you know, they give it back when you leave the White House, and all of a sudden I had 751 text messages.
Ooh.
I didn't know that many people had my phone number, and then I looked at my social media, and it was like, you know,
yeah,
I go, wow, what did I do? And then, of course, then the attack started too, which is fine. But they, it's just been, it hasn't letting up, and it's been a great that I was finally, you know, to be able to use my platform. I always knew God had given me the MyPillow just as a platform. I do evangelism. You know, I've been able to go out to 50,000 seat stadiums. I spoke at U.S. Bank Stadium a couple of years ago to 50,000 millennials, and told about 10 minutes of my story, and be able to use the fame of the MyPillow to now reach out and evangelize and talk, speak out for Jesus, and it's just amazing for me.
That's incredible. Tell me, though, Mike, about those words that you said, because they're so true. This is an opportunity where we can all take a step back, and while everything around us is on hold, really get in the Word and spend that Bible time with our family. How important is that?
Well, here's the deal. Everyone might not know my story, but I was an ex-crack cocaine addict. And when I came out of addiction in 2009, the Lord freed me from that. I looked around, and everything had changed. My friends were unemployed. We got presidents giving money to evil empires. We got, you know, it's like God had been gone, and, you know, with our kids in school, the kid that I am looking in our schools, that had completely been taken out. It's like things were changing. And there was marriages. They called it marriage, but in the Bible, it's a man and a woman. Call it something else. I'm sorry. You know, call it anything. These were things that were bothering me. Well, then, right now, You know, this is what I said there. God gave us grace. I do believe a nation had turned its back on God, and we are taking a bad path. And now I've said it before. There's a couple things. I've even added to it on these shows. You know, to spend the time right now, we're called, us that have the Lord, that have Jesus, that are saved, this would be the time to not just be at home and getting our Bibles, reach out to our friends that are out there looking for hope. Right now, you know, people don't turn to God and stuff when times are good. It's usually when the chips are down and things are going, they're going, even non-believers are going, okay, God, please, you'll get me through this. And they're looking for hope. That's why I said this is time for the greatest revival in history. We should be, if you're, same way with addiction. If, I said this before in the show, if I was ready to launch the biggest addiction platform, recovery platform ever, and before this pandemic. But right now, if you're an addict sitting at home, you all know people, friends of yours that have died. Reach out to someone your own age that you know has made it through it and did the same drug. And that's your hope match. And you're going to find out how did he get through. It's going to end up being he got through with God. He got through with your faith-based treatment centers. And this is what I said. This could be the biggest evangelism platform right now that we're in for to reach out to other you know, to other people looking for hope that don't have God, that don't have Jesus, that don't, you know, that aren't reading their Bibles. And for people that aren't strong in their faith, well, I guarantee you they're getting I did hear that the Bibles are selling out all over the country. Even there's a few stores I don't like that one of them starts with tar and ends with get, and they've even out of children's Bibles. So, you know, it really resonated across the country that there is some hope out there.
Wow, amen. Hey, if there's a book that's going to run out of shelves, that's the one. And let's hope more and more people get in the Word, more and more people read it. Now, you did mention, of course, people criticizing. And as soon as you said, of course, I always feel, Mike, that this world that we're living in, the enemy attacks from so many angles. He'll use the media, he'll use whoever to attack us. But I always feel like if I'm using my platform, which I do to share Christ, and I'm going to get attacked for it, I take that as like, hey, I'm doing something right. Do you look at it that way?
Absolutely. In 2016, I didn't know anything about politics when I came out of freed from all my addictions, and Donald Trump reached out to me in 2016 before he was president. I had never, you know, never met him before, and he invites me to New York City on August 15th to a private meeting, and I talked to him, and he was telling me, you know, we talked about addiction. I said, he's going to build this wall, stop this. And he said, Mike, you always wear your cross. Are you a Christian? I said, yes. And I said, this is a divine appointment, Mr. Trump. And I was very nervous with that. But he did, it was just amazing, and telling me all these things he was going to do. He goes, Mike, your pillow's made here in the U.S. I want to bring these jobs back. And I walked out of his office, and I said, wow. He's going to be the greatest president ever. And I was ready to put my whole platform in to put my credibility behind him. I talked to some of his employees, and that was the clincher. Every one of his employees said, he's amazing, great boss, does stuff for me personally. It was just across the board. So I went back to Minnesota, and I told my board at my pillow, I said, I'm going to do a press release and help him get elected. I said, you should see, he's amazing. In the board meeting, one of my corporate lawyer goes, you know, you're going to hurt our business. Half our business is going to be lost if you do this. And I got mad, and I went outside the boardroom, and the gal came out, one of our board members, she came out, she goes, we didn't get this far by you not listening to God. And I went back in that boardroom, I said, we didn't get this far by me not listening to God. I'm doing that press release. Well, I did that press release, and normally the media would come across, hell, thanks, you know, what are you doing? They'd be all over me. This time it was a complete shutout. All I did was say I had a meeting. I didn't even say what we talked about. I was called a racist. I was just slammed. And the Better Business Bureau took me from an A+ to an F. Lawyers out of California attacked me for my ass. It was just, I'd never seen anything like it. But you know what? I got through that. And I learned that I was doing something right. And my business kept getting bigger and bigger because of it. And, you know, I tell people all the time, other than we got this pandemic, but they'd always say, when's your best day ever? It was always the day we were in. And because I did follow what I was supposed to do for, you know, the day with God, with this platform. And now this last week, you're right. I, you know, for me, all the attacks, I know I send those late night hosts pillows all the time when they attack me, and I'll send them pillows. I'll come on your show anytime. A lot of the ones that badmouth me, you know, I do take it as like that I am doing the right thing, because it's just so, it's almost like, and Mike Lindell used this for a PR stunt or whatever, and or Mike Lindell, who was telling us to read our Bibles, you know, Saturday Night Live, they got me there too. But all these things, it, you know you're doing good, because, like, you know, I've been taking this for 3 years now since I got behind the president. One of the things, though, I'll try and boycott these, you know, they'll say, boycott Mike Lindell and my pillow. And then the other guys on the bots on Twitter will say, don't boycott him. He'll double his ass, and we see enough of that guy. Because I just double down, okay? I will double down, and you know what? I'm not going to change who I am. I'm not going to change my beliefs. And I'm going to tell you, this isn't a political thing. During the last election in 18, I had this Republican lady come to me running for Congress. She goes, Mike, will you come and do a donor event with me and bring people in? I said, absolutely not. They said, you're pro-choice. And I said, she goes, no, I'm kind of in the middle. I said, there is no middle. And I said, you know what? Here would be the headlines. Mike Lindell goes against his Christian values to back a Republican. And then my platform's over. For me, my faith comes first, whatever God wants me to do. And that's it. I ain't changing. So all these people that attack me, I actually hope they don't stop, because it's really gotten more exposure by them doing that, because 100 people will attack that one person. So what I encourage everybody out there right now, you know, we've stayed silent as Christians for too long. It's just time to reach out. It's the biggest revival ever. Stand up for what you believe in. And this is our time to get this country back to God, and to get our schools and start, you know, their kids that don't have anything to stand. They don't even have a foundation. You took family out of this country, too. There's so much fatherlessness and family values. They did a poll in a prison. How many of the prisoners in this prison do you think both their parents got married, planned their child, had their child, and were still married to while that person was still in prison? 0%. That's how important a family is, too.
I'm part of a prison ministry, Mike, where we go into prisons, we play softball, and we get to share the gospel with the inmates. And you're so right. You talk to these guys, and I'll tell you, a majority of them came from single parent. They don't have a father. They didn't know their father. And it's very difficult. Now, you mentioned a little bit about your testimony, and a lot of people may not know this about you. And you did write a book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. Tell me about that, and share a little bit of how you got here, how you got to this platform, because Jesus saved you from your addiction.
Right. Well, you know, you go back to us. I was 7 years old. This book, by the way, took 7 years to write, and you'll read it. It's like the best fiction book you ever read. Then you go, wait a minute, this is real. And you know, I had 14 near-death experience. God protected me so much my whole life. But I can track back where I got here now. I was 7 years old. My parents divorced in 1969. Back when divorces were not common, I was put into a new school. I was the only kid from a divorced family. I didn't fit in. I didn't feel. I had this feeling of I'm different. I would do stuff to show off, like jump out of a bus window. Hey, watch me do this. But I wouldn't talk to people if I didn't know them. I was very introverted, kind of, you know, almost shy, because I thought, well, maybe I just don't like small talk. But I knew that wasn't it. I didn't want to, you know, expose who I was, because you can't get rejected if you don't talk.
Yeah.
And I had a thing. I'll say one thing. I got to my 5-year reunion, and I had I'd worked in a grocery store and a drive-in movie theater. And I got there, and everybody else by that time had graduated from college. They had started families. They had careers going on. But I got there, and I had nothing. I dropped out of college in the first quarter at the University of Minnesota. But I took over the reunion just bragging about all these things. I owe the mafia $20,000. They tried to kill me. I was betting on football. I went skydiving and fell asleep on the way there on my motorcycle and crashed it. And I got there, and my parachute didn't open. But these were all true stories. But it was like everyone's going, wow. It kind of stole all these guys their moment at the reunion, their stories of starting their families, when everybody was at. Well, I got home that night, and I lay in a bed, and I'm going, you know, it was a deep sadness came over me. I really wanted what they had. And God ended up handing me that on silver platter in 1987. But before that, I was introduced to cocaine about right in the early 80s. And when I got into cocaine, I felt good about myself. I did, you know, addiction masks pain, and it gives you false courage. It does all kinds of things. I don't care what the addiction is. If it doesn't matter if it's overeating, sex, gambling, meth, crack, it doesn't matter. Addiction. They're there to, you know, mass pains, which I believe all addiction comes from childhood, from father wounds and from trauma. All, you know, that's my belief because I went through it, and I don't believe you're born an addict. That's just something I don't believe. But anyway, 20 years I've married. I've had all these different entrepreneurial ventures, and you know, I haven't worked for anyone since the early 80s. My sister flooded a third-story building in an apartment complex with a waterbed, so I became a carpet cleaner, and I always had this amazing, you know, hard work ethic. I always wanted to succeed. And so anybody that you read the books for the entrepreneurship part of it and never give up was pretty amazing. Well, anyway, I ended up having a bar for 13 years and I had to sell that. It was tragic at the time, you know, just devastating. But I look back now and I wouldn't change a thing if it wouldn't be where I'm at right now. But in 2004, I had a dream. I would always get these dreams and I would always have I believe they're right from God. And the pillow, the idea for the pillow, I believe came from God. First thing I dreamt was the MyPillow logo. I wrote it. One of my daughters came upstairs. She goes, I had it all over the house written. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I've invented this pillow. It's going to be called MyPillow. It's going to change the world. And she looks over. She goes, that's really random, Dad. Headed back downstairs. Well, before, it took about a year and a half. So I'd already started crack cocaine addiction in the early 2000s. So, but then I put everything I had into this pillow, and I will kind of cut through the, you know, I was turned down everywhere when it was invented. People were taking the company, what little bit there was. We were making pillows and our labeling them in our living room. We were losing our house, losing everything. My wife left in the middle of the night. She couldn't take it anymore. So I had a 20-year divorce after 20 years. This is all in 2007. It was like the big collapse. And then the pillow kept going just like a pulse of a, you know, just like this little pulse. Well, in 2008, you know, I would always tell all my friends at the bar, you know, when we were, after the bars were closed, I would say, we'd be doing lines of cocaine or whatever. I'd say, you know what? I said, I read about Revelation. I read Revelation, the Bible, and end times and stuff. And I said, we should quit this and basically witness to them. And I didn't even have God. And wow. They would quit that night, find the Lord. And I had 28 people I can track back on that. But I think it was me always trying to convince myself. And I would see these one in a million. I always used mathematics that God existed. So I would say, I would have all these things happen to me, a one in a million, a one in a billion. I go, wow, I got through this, or this is a miracle. Or, you know, when you combine it, it surely is a miracle because it's impossible without God. Well, anyway, in 2008, I was up for 14 days, and the drug dealers did an intervention on me. I was downtown Minneapolis. I hadn't been asleep for 14 days. I came out of the room, and they're all three standing there, and they go, I go, what are you guys doing? And they go, you know each other? They knew of each other. And they go, Mike, you've been up for 14 days. We're cutting you off. Everybody's cutting you off. And I said, and I looked at them. I go, what is this, an intervention? They go, call whatever you want. Well, two of them left, and the last guy tried to wave me out. He finally fell asleep. I went down to the streets of Minneapolis, and I couldn't buy crack anywhere. It was 2 hours or hour and a half.
Mike, these are actual drug dealers who were refusing to sell to you?
Yeah,
that's amazing. Wow.
I came back upstairs, and not only that, they got the word out on the street. You see some crazy looking white guy with a mustache, don't sell him any crack or we're going to kill you.
Wow.
You know, and so I came back upstairs, and that drug dealer sitting there, he goes, give me your phone. I'm going to take a picture. He goes, you're going to need that for that book you've been telling us about that you plan on writing. I would always, and he goes, this is his exact words. He goes, you've been telling us for years that this MyPillow thing is just a platform for God, and you're going to come back and help us all someday get out of addiction, this addiction lifestyle we lead. And he says, we're not going to let you die on us. Now, I was their hope, and my cover of my book is that picture he took that day. And by the way, two of these guys are born-again Christians. They work for me now.
Wow.
Yeah, one quit selling, got out of the business. But this is what the story didn't end there. Later that year, things happened that year. My son moved out with a tear in his eye. I mean, there was just things that kept happening that led up to it. And then in December of 08, my friend came, and he had been clean for 4 years. And I hadn't seen him since then, but he was my match in every way. Now, I was just like a little dot on a TV screen, going to go out, no, black and white, you turn it off, and it would shrink down to a little dot. That was kind of where I was heading. And he showed up out of the blue, and I said, you know, we had both done cocaine at the same time in the 80s started. We had both switched to crack in the early 2000s, but he heard this rumor. He had been straight, and he comes walking in. I go, Dick, how you doing? He goes, what's going on? He goes, the Lord led me here. What's going on? And I go, well, I said, and he had found God. And I said, Dick, I got one question for you. Is it boring? And he goes, no, man, it ain't boring. And I drilled him with questions for 2 hours that only he could answer. I've been through many treatment centers and secular treatment centers, but here's my friend, same age, done the same thing. He was my hope match. In my book, I call them hope matches. That's why I tell you, when you're at home right now, you can be looking out there for your hope match. Find someone that's made it through your age and the same thing has happened. And then I reach out and see how he got through. But a month later, I ended up, it was January 16, 2009. And I prayed to God. I knew that one more day. Now, was this my bottom? I made sure I didn't have any money or anything left. I would show with God, it would be the greatest comeback ever. And I knew this was going to show people so much hope by my own story. But I prayed one prayer that night. I said, God, I want to wake up in the morning and never have the desire for drugs or alcohol, anything again. And then I'll do this platform thing. It was kind of like a deal. But I woke up in the morning and it was like everything was gone. It was like Groundhog Day. Something's different. And so I was free to that, and I'll fast forward now, though, 2 months later, I ended up going to a faith-based treatment center just to find out why I was an addict in the first place. I figured that if something was leading to there, that the answers would be there. And they did. They went back, that divorce back when I was seven, that had a lot to do with it.
Wow.
And all these things put into a new school, all these wounds that were never addressed. And anyway, so now I'm going to really fast forward. So you always see me wearing my cross on TV and everything, and everyone's seeing that. And I would wear it. I got slammed for that, too, back in the day. Well, anytime, that I wear my cross, you know, from the early 2000s on the outside of my shirt. Well, anyway, I went to do that first infomercial, which, by the way, I was doing my reads, and the producer texted the other guy, said, this is the worst guy I've ever seen. He'll never make it on TV. This guy's terrible. And we did the infomercial, and I did it with my cross on, like I normally wear it, that first infomercial. And it aired October 7, 2011. I was living in my sister's basement. I had nothing left in the world except for some 300-some pillows I made or whatever it was. And we launched, and I had 10 employees, and 40 days later, I had 500 employees. It just exploded. And, you know, I wore my cross out ever since, had it out, you know, on there. It wasn't to sell pillows. That's the way I always was. I believed in God, but my mathematics. Well, then all these things started happening to me, meeting a guy that became president, becoming friends with the president. I went to a national prayer breakfast. I was picked out of 12 people to pray with Ben Carson in a room before when he was running it. I mean, the odds of this was it's impossible. And I'm going, you know, this has to be God. It would just become more and more real to me. Well, then I ended up going, I met this gal, and she had a personal relationship with Jesus. It was different. She goes, Mike, you haven't done a full surrender. And
yes.
I go, what are you talking about? Yes. You know, I believe in God. And it was bothering me. And here, on February 18th, you ready for this? 2017. That's 2 years ago.
Wow, Mike. Okay? Wow.
I went into this Operation Restored Warrior. It's for actually for veterans, and I'm not a veteran. And they go in there for their, you know, it's like a retreat type thing. But I ended up on the second day on February 18, 2017. I got on my knees and I did a full surrender. And it was like a burden lift off to me. Now anything I do, I put Jesus as my CEO. Everything I do. And it's
just, I love that.
It was just such a relief. And then I'll tell you this last thing. So then the president invites me to a round table at the White House. And I'd never been in the White House before. And I walk in, and I remember when I was a kid, I was a big Elvis Presley fan. And I seen Elvis Presley with a picture of him with Richard Nixon when he was president. And I always thought, wow, Elvis got to see a president. He got, you know, you got to be famous like Elvis to be able to do that. I remember that dream. Well, I walked into the White House, and there was that picture of those two on the wall. And I went to my chair in the round table, and I sat down, and I go, there was my name tag. And I asked the guy, I said, who's sitting here? He said, the president is. And I thought, this is impossible. Well, I went on national TV then. They showed us side by side. All my friends are at home going, what is this crack addict sitting like he's the president? He goes, Jesus is real because this is impossible. And this is what's
Amen.
For me. You know, I mean, it's just it's been amazing where now I can go out and evangelize to stadiums of people and talk about what my real calling is to speak out for Jesus. And boy, God gave me a big platform the other day at the Rose Garden.
I love you sharing your heart, sharing Jesus, man. Keep on using that platform. Thanks, Mike. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
That was MyPillow inventor and CEO Mike Lindell. Such an incredible story. Thank you to Mike and Dak Prescott for being our guests this week. Thank you to all of our listeners and followers. Big thanks to Doug Horton for handling the business side. And big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for all the excellent work he does for us on a website, podcast, and blog. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. And thank you to our producer, Ryan Lennox. Big thanks to, of course, 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.